Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I really do think he's just a genius.
He certainly is. To write a book like that?
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
He's more than a genius.
Can you believe that?
No, look at that. This must have been a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it was. The best.
You know how the Hobbit book is one book?
Yeah.
They made three movies out of the book.
Oh.
Yeah. My same reaction, Grandma. What would you say to those people who don't like Lord of the Rings?
They're missing out.
Oh, they're missing out.
Oh, yeah. You better stick with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people can start reading it and then...
Oh, yeah. Highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am,
Your
grandmother.
Yeah.
And you got me involved and hooked on it. Anyone can get hooked on it.
Did you know there's another three books after this? Grandma, I'm kidding. There's no more. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Tudor Ramble episode. My name is Austin, and I am delighted to have...
I'm Austin's grandmother.
Hi, Austin's grandmother.
Hi, Austin. Libby.
Well, this is your first time on the podcast ever.
Yes, it is.
Are you excited?
I am.
You are? You're actually excited? You really?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we're talking about Lord of the Rings today.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
You got me hooked on it.
And The Hobbit. Remember The Hobbit, the first one?
Yes.
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 Was it a year ago where I got you The Hobbit, and remember with Bilbo Baggins and the whole adventure?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You read that book and then wanted to read all the others.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that? So it's four books in total you read.
Yes.
And it's taking you about a year.
At least, and I haven't finished the last one, The Return of the King, is it?
Yeah, you have like 50 pages left.
Yeah, about 50.
But you pretty much finished it.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of book series, this is why I'm excited, because for anybody in the audience, you knew nothing about Lord of the Rings.
Nothing.
You knew nothing about fantasy. Do you know the fantasy genre? With make-believe, all that.
Right. Nothing about it.
You hadn't
never
read it.
Thought I would read anything about it.
Right.
Either.
All these, remember you went to your neighbor, was it Marge? And you said, hey, guess what? There's this Gandalf the Wizard.
Yeah. And I said, he can do anything.
What did Marge say?
She thought it was the craziest thing she ever heard, and why would I want to read it? I said, Marge, you got to get into the book, and you got to feel it.
That's right. You have to feel it.
You do.
It's make-believe, but isn't it good?
It is.
It has a lot of good messages and characters, and did you...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Because it's been a year, and you're going to finish the book probably this week, next week or two.
Yeah.
You're just at the very end. They're going back to the Shire, and the Shire's a mess. Is that the case now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I won't tell you what happens there.
Oh, please don't.
But,
I want
to
anticipate it.
We're going to talk spoilers of Lord of the Rings on this. So if you haven't read Lord of the Rings, but you want to listen to my grandma and I talk, just warn you, there's spoilers for Lord of the Rings here. But the reason that won't be a problem for a lot of people is Lord of the Rings is so popular and so big in fantasy that most people in some way, even if they haven't read it, know something about the story. Because did you know there was a movie series?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. It came out in the early 2000s, and all of that was filmed in New Zealand.
Right.
Do you think because you haven't seen the films, right?
No, I have not.
Do you think you'll want to watch them after reading the books?
I think I would like to view them, yes.
Mm-hmm. You would want to watch them together sometime?
Sure. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Next time I come up to New York,
I'll come watch them. Ideal.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Because the Hobbit also has movies, but I recommend against them. The Lord of the Rings movies are much better.
Right, okay.
So you read all the books.
Yes.
And being in the fantasy genre for the first time, what would you say was your experience of reading something that was so make-believe for the first time? Because what are you used to reading, and why is this so different from other books you usually like to read?
Well, it just, like one example, I forgot which book it was, that the Frodo and his friend were
Samwise
was bitten by the spider.
Oh, Shelob.
Shelob, yeah. Yes. And Samwise thought Frodo was dead, but
that's
he wasn't.
Right.
He was just paralyzed.
Yeah.
So Samwise, thinking he's dead, took the ring.
Uh-huh.
Put it around his neck. And so then the next book I started, I thought it would continue with Frodo and Samwise, but it didn't.
Right. The first half of the book is with Aragorn and Legolas, and it's all the other people.
Yeah.
And then you
a million people come in, and they're all new, and they're all new characters. So you really have to read and then sometimes reread.
Yeah.
Because it's that
complex in a way.
Yes. Very yeah. complex.
Mm-hmm. This is known.
To me, it was.
Oh, not just to you as well. Lord of the Rings. So J.R.R. Tolkien, the author, I'll give you some info on him and maybe some stuff you don't know.
Okay.
But this book spawned, it created the whole subgenre of what's called epic fantasy. And so this isn't just fantasy. Epic fantasy refers to these kind of worlds. The world that you just explored was called Middle Earth.
Yeah.
It was called Middle Earth, and this is a completely make-believe world with its own languages and cultures and all these creatures, the hobbits.
Yeah.
You know the hobbits like Frodo and Bilbo and Sam, all of them?
Yeah.
Tolkien came up with those. This is the first wow. time we've ever seen hobbits, so he invented this and mm-hmm. started this long journey that you went through where mm-hmm. they went and had to get the ring down to Mordor.
Oh, and yeah. Uh-huh.
All the books you see on our shelf back here, see how cool these are? Aren't these cool books?
Awesome books.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorcery.
So you see the Wheel of Time up there? Those are bad books. Bad, bad books.
Really?
Oh, they're not good, yeah. Richard would disagree, but don't listen to Richard.
I won't. Hey, he's not even here.
But all these books you see, for the most part, behind us, only exist because this book in front of us here, Lord of the Rings, exists.
Wow. Awesome.
Because
amazing.
And the reason you're saying that, how complex it was, is at the end of the book, you wanted to see in The Return of the King, the third book, what happened to Frodo and Sam.
Yeah.
And the way that Tolkien writes this is you get... New characters, and sometimes what it's called is a point of view shift. You know, do you understand by that? The point of view of the character. So you know how some chapters you get from Frodo's point of view, or some are
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. some Frodo chapters don't come for a long time. So mm-hmm. in a lot of fantasy books, you'll see in the ones behind us, when you go and read fantasy, a lot of the times they'll have a character, mm-hmm. 7, 8 characters, sometimes 3 to 4 as usual, but you'll have all these different characters where you're jumping back and forth between different people you're following.
Yes, yes. And that's what happened in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Every time you turn around, there was someone new, or they'd go back to something, and, you know, it was just... Uh-huh. Very complex.
I remember
you said.
I would go home. I would go back to New York, and I would see you would have notes down
yes.
for the chapter. So
I did.
How did you go through reading the books? Did you go through and write meticulous notes on each chapter? How'd you do it?
I took notes basically on the last book on each chapter, The Return of the King.
Okay.
And the Two Towers, I had to go back a little bit and take a look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, Gandalf was imprisoned.
Yes.
And how the eagle saved Dean.
Oh, yeah.
And then the eagles come again.
At the end, right?
And save a few other people, too, which is surprising.
What did you think about the eagles coming in and saving Frodo, saving them in the end? What did you think about that?
I thought that was awesome.
Oh, did you?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a big weight off my mind.
Because you thought that the whole entire, all of this anticipation, and you get there, and all hope is almost lost.
Yeah, it is.
And you think they're over.
Yeah.
But then the Eagles come and save the day. I'll tell you what other people, sometimes the fans of the books, a lot of them love that, but there's some people who will say that the Eagles coming is a bit of a plot hole. Do you know what I mean by that, plot hole?
No.
Meaning, that wasn't as satisfying because they came out of nowhere. Like, I wanted them to get out of that situation in a way that made less of a feel. You ever feel like the author just kind of writes in something and does it because they want them to save the characters, where it feels forced?
Oh, I see.
Some people will say that, but not to get too much in that, but you enjoyed it from that perspective of just looking at the Eagles. You thought it was really satisfying.
Right.
I agree with you.
I liked it.
Okay, good.
I think it was astounding that Gandalf could use those Eagles.
Yeah.
And he would call them, they'd come.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time he needed them, they were there. They were there for when he was imprisoned.
That's right. And didn't they come in The Hobbit at one point? It's been a while since I've read The Hobbit, but I believe they come and help Bilbo and Gandalf back in The Hobbit.
I can't remember, Austin. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going
to
bug me.
See.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to go back and look.
Yeah. Right.
But the Eagles are a big presence in the books.
Oh, they are.
And,
yes.
And we got to talk a little bit about Frodo, of course.
Oh,
and I want to hear your point of view on what you think about Frodo's. So Bilbo and Frodo, and tell me what you think about Frodo and his journey, because this is Frodo's book.
Right. I think Frodo was very brave to go and destroy the ring.
Oh, yeah.
That mission, like Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think when he got the ring back from Samwise, I think the ring possessed him. Because once the ring was, you know, gone, and we know how that happened, and we shouldn't tell anybody how that happened in case they're reading the book.
No, go ahead, spoil away anything.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, Gollum was helping them get to Mordor.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they came there, he bit off the finger that the ring was on.
What'd you think about that?
I thought it was pretty gruesome, but that's Gollum for you.
Because you said you call Gollum what? A creep, right?
Yeah, he's a creep. He's a creepy creep. And then he toppled and wavered over the top of the fire of volcano, was it?
Yeah.
A mountain.
Basically, yeah. Mount Doom, it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, Mount Doom.
Like a volcano, yeah.
Yeah, Mount Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And so he fell into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Frodo was himself again.
Yep.
Once the ring was gone. See, he was possessed by the ring.
Yeah.
He said, it's mine, Samwise. It's mine. You can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it possessed him.
What do you think about that? That he stayed, because remember that this ring was so tempting that Boromir, you remember Boromir?
Yes. He even tried to take it.
Exactly. And the thing is, the heart of men in this book are very easily tempted.
Right.
And what it's getting at is humans here can be tempted so easily.
Exactly.
I think of in the real world of all these vices.
Yeah.
And the ring represents a lot of that and how easily Boromir fell. But these hobbits, the simple creatures of Frodo and Bilbo, they're able to do in the story is these hobbit creatures live a nice, simple life in the Shire.
Yes.
And they can resist temptation more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But even by the end, because as the ring and as Frodo gets closer and closer and closer to Mordor and closer to temptation, it gets harder and harder to resist.
Right.
But only Frodo could have gotten that far. But do you think that in the end, because Frodo couldn't toss the ring in himself in the end, it did possess him. Even though the ring was destroyed, do you think that Frodo failed, or do you think that he still succeeded in the end?
Oh, I think he succeeded.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He made it all the way there.
He made it all the way there. He struggled so much to get there, and they suffered so much that I think he succeeded, definitely.
Yeah. And what do you think about, what biggest message did you take from the book series? What was something that stuck with you? Was it? There's a lot of good and evil.
Yeah. Good overcomes evil.
Mm.
Which I thought was the main focus of the book, that good can come overcome evil.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that, too, is do you think that sometimes... A message I really like in the book at the end there, too, is even when Frodo is the only person that could have gotten it that far.
Yeah.
But even at the very end, the ring tempted him.
Yes.
And it kind of shows you that even when it comes to good versus evil, sometimes a little...
Temptation is always there.
It's always there.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you need a little whatever that is, whether it is from God or it's luck or you need something else to help the good side to prevail against evil.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did you get some of that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh, oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, I believe in God, so I think God overcomes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
for people.
You know, J.R.R. Tolkien is a devout Catholic.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Devout Catholic. And
really?
just like you and Grandpa.
Yeah.
And he's such a devout Catholic that he, when he was, I'll give you a little bit of info about Tolkien. Maybe it'll let you appreciate him more as well. And then the part of the message of this book, where he's such a devout Catholic. He went to Oxford in England. He went to Oxford and he became a teacher at Oxford University.
Okay.
And do you know C.S. Lewis?
Sinclair Lewis?
C.S. Lewis. He wrote books like Narnia. He also wrote some religious books as well. But
I don't.
Oh, you know what?
What religious book did he write?
He wrote I think it was on Christianity he wrote. He wrote a book about Christianity, and I think the book was titled On Christianity.
Okay.
But him and C.S. Lewis are very famous authors. They went to Oxford, and he was such a devout Catholic. Actually, in conversations with his other friend, his author friend, C.S. Lewis, he helped C.S. Lewis become Catholic through conversations they had.
No kidding.
And J.R.R. Tolkien, you see the edge of this book, how it has that Elvish script? Or that might be more... I don't know which script this is. It looks Elvish to me. But you see that language you saw throughout the book?
Yeah.
He developed all those languages on his own because he was a student of languages.
Wow.
You know what he did at Oxford is he studied... he taught Anglo-Saxon. And I think he knew something over a dozen languages, and he just loved to look at, you know, the book Beowulf, very old book.
Yes.
He wrote a translation of Beowulf from archaic script to modern English, and he just loved languages so much. So when he was going to create Middle Earth, his primary focus was just creating this world and this language and this history, this Middle Earth, this.
Right.
Alternate history, this other alternate world where you could explore and create almost a mythos for England, or like a mythos, because I think part of the reason that he wrote this book was that England didn't have much of a history, because, you know, all these other countries have so much history in the past, but England has pretty much William the Conqueror, then all this happens, and he was kind of writing what would have happened hundreds and thousands of years ago, what was Earth like before? And he was writing this whole thing of elves and dwarves and all this world stuff. What stuck out to you in the world? Because there's Wizard Gandalf, there's dwarves like Gimli, there's elves like Legolas. What world thing stuck out to you? Was it the spiders? Was it the eagles? All these make-believe things. Did anything really impress you?
I think the eagles impressed me.
Would you like that?
Yes.
And Gandalf's connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite moment from the book? Other than eagle portion, was there something from, I can maybe rejog your memory with some of the scenes with, because it's been a while since you read book one.
Right, yeah.
Right. You had in the Fellowship of the Ring, did you like, remember the very beginning in the Shire? It was a long time ago, but how they started in the Shire and Frodo getting the very beginning, Gandalf. Oh, the very first chapter of Fellowship starts with Bilbo's 11th birthday.
Yep.
111 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's throwing a party of special magnificence.
Yep. So he's going to go on a trip.
Yes. Because remember, we just had The Hobbit where Bilbo was the hero of the story.
Yes.
He was the main character.
Uh-huh.
What did you think about Bilbo in The Hobbit and then Bilbo when he was older? Remember how he was the main character at first?
Right.
Yeah.
I never thought I would hear from him again.
Right.
At the end of the book in Biblo.
Yeah.
I thought that was it.
Gone.
Yeah, gone. Yeah. But here he pops up again.
Because remember in The Hobbit, that was the whole journey about going to
find gold.
Riches. Yes, the dwarves wanted the riches.
Yes.
And but who was protecting all the gold, remember?
Smaug the dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he got what was coming to him, too, because he... Smaug had a area in his breast that was just skin.
Yes.
And who was it? Bardo?
Yes.
Bardo?
Bardor? Bard something. Great question.
B-A-R-D-O-R? Bardor? Was able to
Bard the Bowman.
Bard the Bowman.
Yes.
Yep. Was able to shoot an arrow in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Smaug came down.
Yes.
And he, I think, drowned in the Riverdale Lake, did he?
I believe at Long Lake. Was it called Long Lake or...
Was it Long Lake?
Could be. There. Lake Town. Or Lake Town must have been the name. But that was, after that human village.
Yes.
That was near, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like how the... Remember the... Well, probably don't remember much of it because... There was that big battle that happened, but Bilbo got knocked out. Remember, Bilbo got knocked out, wakes up, and the battle's over at the end with all the different armies, and Thorin's injured. Remember the dwarf Thorin and... And Thorin was tempted by the riches.
Yes.
And the dwarves there... The Hobbit is more known as a classic children's story. In a lot of ways.
Really?
The Hobbit is seen as it has this great message about not going for greed and also about friendship and going outside and going on an adventure. That's what all The Hobbit is. And Tolkien wrote The Hobbit back in the 1930s.
Oh, okay.
And then he wrote Lord of the Rings in the 1950s.
Wow.
And so it took him, I think it was 14 or 15 years between The Hobbit and then the Lord of the Rings books.
Oh.
And then he wrote this. These were the more intense and advanced version. Yeah, because when you went from The Hobbit was a very
fun.
It was fun and jovial. What was the difference between that and then reading these three very intense books?
That's like night and day.
Yeah.
One was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
This was conflict after conflict.
Yeah.
And battle after battle. And all the... good versus evil, all the, conflicts and orcs and trolls came into it, and just so many characters.
You mentioned battle as well. Do you remember the Ride of the Rohirrim?
The what?
The Ride of the Rohirrim. It's a tough name, but when they were, remember Minas Tirith, the place Minas Tirith, it is where the Return of the King, in that book where all the Are you remembering so far? Or it was one of the battles. It's only a page or two where that Ride of the Rohirrim happens, but it was where Theoden, Theoden, remember Theoden?
Where he died?
Yeah, remember he died in the battle, but right before he died, they did that ride of the Rohirrim where they were all charging to go help Minas Tirith. You remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Minas Tirith. Yeah.
Yes, and they were all going to help save Minas Tirith because it was getting attacked.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I want to show you. I want to show you from the. Do you mind if I show you from the film that scene?
Oh no, I'd love to.
The Ride of the Rohirrim. Okay, I'm going to show you this.
And
this is
Theoden's horse.
Shadowfax was Gandalf's.
Gandalf's.
Yeah. But Theoden's horse. Yeah. Go on.
Hmm.
You were going to.
Snowman.
Was it Snowman?
I don't know. Look it up.
Okay. Theoden's horse. Because I do forget that. Theoden's horse name. I didn't know it had a name. Oh, yeah. Snowman. You're right.
Snowman.
It is. That is exactly the name.
Fell on him.
Yeah. And he...
I thought, wow.
But before I show you this clip, I do want to say that Tolkien, because he wrote The Hobbit in 1930s, Lord of the Rings 1950s, he fought in World War I.
Oh.
And he fought in this big bloody battle called the Battle of the Somme. But he fought in World War I, and a lot of people look at the battles he has in the books, which, it's not too focused on the battles in the books. There are your scenes, but it's more about the adventure yes. in the books. There's a long adventure in the battles over there.
Oh, absolutely.
But they say that Tolkien got a lot of his influence and inspiration on the book, or a lot of his war experience in World War I affected how he wrote the book itself.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to pull up here, and I'm going to show you the Ride of the Rohirrim. Are you ready?
Yeah, see, Rohirrim, R-O-H-A-N.
It's R-O-H-I-R-R-I-M. Yeah, very close.
R-I-M.
Yep. Uh-huh. All right, you ready to see this?
Yeah.
Okay, Grandma, you ready?
Yes.
This is the Ride of the Rohirrim. They're coming to save Minas Tirith. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is Theoden. See that orc? This is from the movie. Look how scary that orc is.
That's an orc?
That's an orc right there. Jeez. Ugly. Ugly. Watch this.
Oh, my.
Listen, you hear that? The music. The orcs are attacking. This is... Watch this. All the men. All the soldiers coming.
Yep.
That's Theoden.
Oh, is it?
Right there. See Theoden? And see his... That's his horse. That's the attack happening on Minas Tirith. See all the orcs?
Yep.
And that's Eowyn. Remember Eowyn?
Yeah.
In the battle?
That's Merry?
Yes. Yeah.
Get out.
Form ranks, you maggots. Form ranks.
The orcs are turning toward the humans here. And that's Theoden and the men behind him.
Fear no darkness.
He said, fear no darkness.
Arise, riders of Theoden. Spears shall be shaken. Shields shall be splintered. A sword day. A red day. And the sun rises. Right now.
Chills every time. Ooh.
Yep, trumpets.
And they're coming.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
This must have been a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it was. The best.
My gosh, look at
them. Look how scared they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps going from there. Grandma, you said that, so you mentioned there it might be a good movie. That's a snippet of what we're going to watch in all three of those movies.
Wow.
Now, not all of them are battle scenes, but that's one of the most famous ones from the movie, uh-huh. where it's that Ride of the Rohirrim. And the books obviously have are different than the movies in some ways,
uh-huh.
where the books are able to focus more, and there's more page time, and the movies have to cut some things, have to do some things to make it work on screen.
Uh-huh.
But the movies are so spectacular, just like the book.
Uh-huh.
Books and the movies, because there's three movies in The Lord of the Rings, just like the three books. One movie on each book.
Okay.
And in this battle there, where you see all the men coming in and attacking. Yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It works. So a lot of it, that spectacle there, all this was shot by the director's name was Peter Jackson, and he shot this all in New Zealand. And you see all that scenery you saw, was all everything was filmed with in New Zealand's location.
That huge group of men.
So the group of men, they had to implement a little bit of CGI computer graphics to add into there.
Yeah.
But how he shot it was initially the front line of that you could see. There's 20 or 40 or so, and then they add more for depth.
Right, right.
But in the film, the genius of it is that it mixes practical effects with computer effects.
Right, right.
It, where, for example, you know how Frodo's very small. The hobbits are very, very small in the books. In the film, what Peter Jackson does, he uses what's called forced perspective to make Gandalf and the wizard look much bigger and all the humans look much bigger than the little hobbits.
Okay.
Because the actors themselves, Frodo, Sam, so Frodo's, the actor's name's Elijah Wood. You might not have heard of him.
No.
But he's normal height. Maybe 5'6", something
that.
Right. Yeah, he's normal. I don't know his exact height, but more normal height. But they make him look so much smaller because of the way the camera...
Exactly.
So all these neat tricks where I think you'll love the movies.
Oh, I bet I will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And is that how... Now, in your head, how did you imagine all these characters looked? Or what did you put in your head... In your make-believe of, this is what I think everybody looks like. I could show you some pictures of Gandalf, what he looks like.
Yeah, show me a picture of him.
Before I show you pictures of the characters, what do you think Gandalf looks like? How would you describe him before you see a picture?
He's very tall.
Very tall.
Has, first he was in gray, then he showed up in white.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking of him in white.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And,
do you imagine him having a beard or no beard?
A beard.
A beard?
Yeah.
And what do you imagine he's wearing? What would a wizard wear?
Oh, probably a long cloak of some kind.
Yeah, maybe a staff too?
Oh, yeah, he always had a staff, I think.
Oh,
Yeah, he did.
So here's Gandalf the White. Here's what he looks like. See that?
Yep.
See that? That's Gandalf the White. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that look... So that is right here. See him?
That's
right
the
there.
Gray?
That's with the white. Uh-huh. And then I could show you the gray as well. The gray is right. Let's see. Gandalf the
gray.
The gray looks like this. See him like there in gray?
Oh, yeah.
See that long cloak, the staff, the long beard, the wizard hat? All that.
I remember the wizard hat and the staff.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the evil person, Sauron, that was trying to get the ring the whole time?
Yeah.
We never really see him, but you know his eyes always watching.
Yeah, but Grandaf took care of him.
Saruman, he took, You're thinking of the evil wizard?
Yeah.
The evil wizard, Saruman, right. Saruman was, what do you know about Saruman? Remember him? He was the evil wizard, and he was on the bad side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Gandalf took care of him?
Yeah, what did he do with him? I forgot.
Well, Gandalf and him in the Two Towers, I forget if it was at it must have been the Two Towers in the book, where Gandalf, first the Ents, remember the Ents?
Yeah, they surrounded, and they were the bodyguards of Saruman in his temple.
What happens is, I'm not sure if, because you have 50 pages left in the book,
mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't want to spoil it for you, but Saruman might still appear in those last 50 pages.
Really?
Yes. So I'm not sure if you got to the point, but he is shown in the books again. So the movies are different. I was thinking movies for a second, but in the book, Saruman is, I'll let you read and finish to find out his ending. Mm-hmm. But Saruman, but he's taken care of, don't worry. He's Saruman looks similar to Gandalf in a way. This was, oh, that's Sauron. See, so Saruman looks like this. See how he's a little similar to Gandalf, but that evil staff and the, see that?
Yeah.
And this is, so this actor here, so the Gandalf, the actor I showed you, Gandalf, was Ian McClellan, fantastic actor. This here is Christopher Lee. And Christopher Lee, this is the incredible thing. He was the only actor slash actress on set to have ever met Tolkien.
Really?
Because Tolkien passed away in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher Lee, he lived in England, and he was going to a pub one day and saw Tolkien there and ran into Tolkien.
Oh, my heavens.
And he was such a big fan of the books, because when the books were coming out in the 50s, 60s, they became very popular over time.
Right,
And these books, they actually, the way they kind of propagated more in the United States is in the 1960s, there was this pirated copy of the books.
Huh.
Where there was this pirated copy that spread around a lot, called the Ace Paperback Edition, where it spread around, and a lot of Americans and U.S. people were able to read the books on this pirated version, but it was becoming popular regardless. It was such a big book and such a popular from The Hobbit and J.R.R. Tolkien being who he is, and it was starting to spread around quite a lot.
Yeah,
and to the time where over decades and decades, eventually it got picked up on film with the film you just saw.
Yeah.
And then now since then, a lot of other things are being done with Lord of the Rings because it's such a popular... Because once you have something that's so popular like Lord of the Rings, you can make a lot of things and it'll draw eyes and attention onto it. So you can make a lot of content now to where you see it all over the place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this being a film? Would you not just being excited to watch the film, but that kind of what do you think a director's purpose should be with Peter Jackson, of when you're adapting a book like The Lord of the Rings, what do you think the goal should be in mind? If, let's say, you were in charge, what would you want to do for something like that?
I would want to bring out as much of the action that you could from the book.
Oh yeah.
And as much as the contact with each other and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the information that it gives out.
Yeah. So you
to try to get that across.
Yeah.
To the viewer.
Because it's a lot to explain, right?
Yes.
So getting that across in a movie, you have to, for an audience, you got to try to make that, because you can't read anything. It's all visual.
Right. And exactly. So, yeah.
That it's a tough job to do, but
oh, absolutely!
The action really comes across in the movies. You'll really enjoy that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on a little bit too with Bilbo, going back to Bilbo, because I have on some of my notes here, I was writing down some things you were mentioning along your reading journey, and I was looking at, okay, I'm going to mention that down so we can mention it in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And some things you were mentioning about Bilbo was that he was your favorite character of the books. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what made Bilbo your favorite?
He was the first one that took the long journey and wanted to do good for the people back home, to get some jewels and be rich so he could help people. And I just liked the way he acted, behaved, and he seemed to be honest, and he was certainly brave.
Brave, kind-hearted.
Yeah, kind-hearted. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had that charm to him.
Yes, he did.
And sometimes...
And it brought it out in the book.
Yes.
And I'm sure it did in the movies.
Well, the Hobbit movies, we don't talk about those.
Oh, okay.
No, it's still... The Hobbit movies, what they did to that... You know how the Hobbit book is one book?
Yeah.
They made three movies out of the book.
Oh.
Yeah, it's my same reaction, Grandma. So yeah, what they did is they made that small book into three long epic films, and it took away some of that charm of the book, at least to me. Mm-hmm. So they tried to do what they did with Lord of the Rings, where Lord of the Rings is three books and this epic, where The Hobbit is not what the Lord of the Rings is.
No.
So what they try to do a similar thing as Lord of the Rings, and it mm-hmm. came across with losing that charm. You know, you remember that battle that you almost forgot about? You pretty much forgot about the battle in The Hobbit. Remember when I mentioned the battle that happened? But Bilbo gets knocked out in the books, and he misses the battle. It's a very small portion of it, where that's not the focus. Remember, they're getting smog. And So that's some of the focus. But in the movie, they show this big epic battle that goes on for a long time in the third movie.
Yeah.
But in the books, we don't even see the battle. No. It's just like, okay, Bilbo gets knocked out, and the point of the books is a lot more charm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because I don't know about you, but The Hobbit, as far as the books go, The Hobbit is my favorite book of
Mine
the four.
Too. Yeah.
Yours mm-hmm. too.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is that because of Bilbo? Or what else is it because of?
Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And do you like that the book was shorter too?
Yes.
Did you like that was easier to digest? It was a lot.
Oh yeah, it was.
Yeah. You didn't have to do notes for that one, did you?
No. But the other ones, they just added so many characters and so much happened.
Yep.
And each book, it was just wow.
Who was your least favorite? Was it the creep?
I think it was Gollum.
Creep. Tell me why, because you know how he had that, he could either be good or bad? Tell me about that.
He had that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad won over with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, other things he did. To Frodo and Sam.
Yeah. But you saw sometimes he was good. Sometimes he tried to be, he was bad. Why do you think that is? Did you pick up on why Gollum was like that?
Well, I think it's torn between doing good, you know, and then he would be tempted again.
Back and forth. You're right on it. Yeah, he would be tempted to be good or bad.
Yes.
And a lot of that is because of the ring.
Yes.
Remember, he had the ring for the longest time. Remember in The Hobbit?
Yeah.
He lost it to Bilbo, took the ring from him.
Yeah, because of a bet they had.
Oh, yeah, the riddles?
Yeah.
Remember the riddles?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, you tell me what's in my pocket.
Yeah.
Bilbo said.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah.
And now that's where the ring went to Bilbo and then eventually Frodo to destroy the ring.
Yes.
And this ring, what Gollum had the ring for so, so long
mm-hmm.
that temptation was so strong because of the magic of the ring. And
that's
why Gollum was able to live for so long. And he was that's why he was so crazy going back and forth because the ring changed him forever.
Yeah.
And then you saw a little bit of that in Frodo by the end.
Yes.
Because if Frodo kept the ring for hundreds and hundreds of years, he would have turned out like Gollum.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I firmly believe that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Because
even though our hobbits are able to resist a little bit better than the other races in the world. What did you think about the Hobbit characters? What did you think about them?
I liked them.
Yeah, their way of life. What did you like about them?
I thought they were strong in character, kind-hearted.
Yeah.
And wanted to always be helpful to people.
Mm-hmm.
And just, they had the charm.
There is something about that in this, and in how Tolkien wrote, but in this fantasy book, whereas the other books you usually read, what genre do you like typically? Do you like nonfiction more? Do you like your...
I do quite a bit of... nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. Nonfiction? Yeah. So this must have been a big change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was.
And one of those bigger changes that happens is in the fantasy world where everything's make-believe, so you're not reading anything for information. So really, I guess in the end of this, what you try to get out of a book like this is, hey, do you get any cool message or theme? And will this book stick with you longer than after you finish it? And when when you think back about Middle Earth and Frodo and all mm-hmm. this journey that you went through.
Right.
That talking about that good versus evil or something else. What's something that, do you have any questions about the books themselves, or do you have anything that comes up when you go, you know what, I wish this happened, or I want to know something about this, or when you think about the book a year from now, maybe you'll reread it
I may.
In the future. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. What questions do you have about it, or what do you want to say about The Lord of the Rings?
Read it slowly.
Is that your advice to everybody?
Oh, yes. Read the books slowly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you would read it, would you try to read it faster than you just weren't retaining it as much?
Yeah, if you read it quickly and you don't retain what's really there on the pages.
Exactly.
Because so much is happening and going on.
Yeah.
With all last three of the books, it's just, you know, it's a lot. That's why I actually took notes.
Yes.
And then it would stick in my brain what was going on. Right. I wrote it down.
What would you say to those people who don't like Lord of the Rings?
They're missing out.
Oh, they're missing out.
Oh, yeah. You better stick with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people can start reading it and then...
Oh, yeah. Highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am,
uh-huh.
Your grandmother.
Yeah.
And you got me involved and hooked on it. Anyone can get hooked on it.
Did you know there's another three books after this? Grandma, I'm kidding. Oh, there's
Thank
no more.
God.
Could you
I don't
imagine?
Know if I could take it.
Could you imagine that? Because this journey took you a year. It would be another year.
Right.
And this is, believe it or not, this book. Let me show you a comparison. This is the three books combined. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me close my laptop and show you this. This is all three of them in one. Do you like this edition? Is great, isn't it? It's a special edition book of this. This is for the audience to see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So this is a special edition book. Now, let me show you another series I could possibly pitch to you one day, okay? Let me just wait right there, Grandma.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Okay. You see this, Grandma?
Uh-huh.
This is one book. This is called Rhythm of War by Brandon Sanderson, okay? See how this is all three of those books? This is one book, Grandma.
Okay.
Look. It's bigger than all the Lord of the Rings.
I know.
And see these up here? This is the fourth book of that big series. That's book one, two, three, then four. I'm not going to pitch this to you because it's too much to read. It's a lot. Yeah. But can you believe that?
What's it about?
So this is called the Stormlight Archive.
The what?
The Stormlight Archive. You know, archive, like a book archive?
Yeah.
And it's called a Stormlight. It's called, like, imagine it's a title of the series, and this is more about it's a modern fantasy, epic fantasy. So you know how Tolkien started the whole epic fantasy? The only reason a book like this exists is because of Tolkien.
Oh, wow.
Because he started this, hey, we're going to create mm-hmm. a new world. So just like Tolkien did in a way, mm-hmm. what this author Brandon Sanderson did is he went and created an entire new world where mm-hmm. there's this storm that exists on the world in a cycle that goes across the whole land every 24 hours or something like that, where this storm mm-hmm. just goes across the land and it's brutal. Imagine a horrible tornado, hurricane. Mm-hmm. And so all of the cultures in this world had to create different types of structures and societies to survive in the storms.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on from there where you follow these characters that go through a lot of mm-hmm. serious, serious character growth and mm-hmm. are so fascinating to read. They're some of my favorite characters ever. But wouldn't exist without Tolkien. But this book, I don't read this because it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's a book I could recommend to you. See this short book?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, called The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson? That's nice and short and sweet.
Really?
Yeah,
the
look.
Emperor's Soul?
Yeah. It's a great short book. And I could go on to what books like that are about. But the point is, if you like the fantasy genre, like you like Tolkien, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there is, you don't have to just go into these big books like Stormlight.
Right,
that's a lot.
Right.
Because look, it's that big of a book. What you can always do is go in, there's something for everybody.
Uh-huh.
If Tolkien, you don't want to go read a big epic like that. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of fantasy books that are just novellas, very short books that are more about one character like Bilbo. That have,
oh,
you know,
okay.
you just have
yeah,
these short
yeah,
characters
yeah.
you want to follow. You don't want anything too crazy.
Right.
What I love about fantasy is that you just follow a character in this new world,
right.
put you in a new situation,
uh-huh.
and
yeah.
it can be as long, as short, it can be
Good.
As, you
yeah.
can go for entertaining, you
uh-huh.
can go for thoughtfulness. What did you like that it was more thoughtful? Did you like the entertainment? What did you get out of the book more? What emotion?
Out of these books?
Yeah, out of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, all different kinds of emotions.
Right.
You get hate. You get love.
Yeah, yeah.
You get anticipation.
Yes.
You get excitement.
Mm-hmm. Did you like that excitement the most? So you like a book that you want to read something that's exciting? Or did you like it more that it was, did you like the, maybe since you like The Hobbit the most, you like the cheeriness. Did you like that fun?
Yeah, in The Hobbit, yes. Yeah, the fun.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like the struggles that they went through in this book.
Right.
Awful lot of struggles.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're, even though Bilbo was your favorite in The Hobbit, with The Lord of the Rings, did you like following Frodo the best, or did Sam stick out more to you, or did any of the other hobbits or characters stick out the most? Because you thought Gollum was a creep. Who wasn't a creep? Who was the best and most fun character to follow for you?
I think Gandalf.
Gandalf? Oh, mm-hmm. He's the best, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
What about Gandalf? Just his way of speaking?
Yeah, and his way of showing up when he's needed.
That's right.
He seemed to know when he was needed.
That's right.
Yeah.
What would you say about, so some of his lines, like you remember how earlier on in the Fellowship of the Ring, he was talking about the pity of Bilbo? Do you remember that? It's a very specific line where Frodo was asking Gandalf, I think it was early on in the first couple of chapters of the Fellowship of the Ring, the first book, where Frodo was asking Gandalf about Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
The creepy Gollum.
Yeah, but and Gandalf said he may have something left to do.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly that. And remember, he was talking about the pity of Bilbo may yet just something along the lines of saving, you know, he might still have a part to play in all this,
yes,
Frodo.
Yes, right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so another part of the message, when you read a book like this, because at first you were writing down a bunch of notes and it's, mm-hmm, a lot to soak in. Mm-hmm. But if you ever read again, or if you ever look up outside of that and you're talking to other people about the book, mm-hmm, there's so many little details.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I noticed that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And to pick up on the message of, because at the end where we're talking about, hey, religion and, you know, being a Catholic, mm-hmm, and how sometimes even the most evil of evil, you need God, mm-hmm, to help.
Right.
Whereas with that part with Gandalf talking about how the pity of Bilbo, Gollum still has a part to play. Even though you thought Gollum was a creep, remember? You've been saying that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Without Gollum, the ring would have never been destroyed. So some of the lesson here is about how pity and mercy is such a great value, such a great virtue to have.
Yes.
Where because, uh-huh, Bilbo, the cheerful Bilbo, mm-hmm, showed pity to this little creep.
Yep.
The world was saved.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And kind of just shows you to lend that and extend that hand to even the lowliest of people, the lowliest of creatures. Yeah,
because Samwise let him go towards the end of one of the books,
yeah,
when he was pleading for mercy. He said, all right, get out of here and go. And then he reappeared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, yeah.
And mm-hmm, as great as Sam is as a friend to Frodo, but Frodo and Bilbo had that pity for Gollum.
Yes.
And that's what, mm-hmm, kept us to them. That's why Frodo had to be our main character to,
right,
get through this journey.
Exactly.
There's just so many little snippets of this book
that you have
to look back on and think, mm-hmm, about. But when Tolkien was writing all this, I really do think he's just a genius.
He certainly is. To write a book like that?
Oh, yeah. Ugh, yeah.
He's more than a genius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what did you think about, we can end soon here, I know we want to get going, but what did you think about his prose and the way he wrote, the sentences themselves? Did you find that they were quick? Were they beautiful? Were they exciting? How did you like the way he spoke?
I thought it was... You mean when he did the verses?
Well, yeah, even the verses. Mostly what I mean is all the lines and the way the book was written, the way that the author wrote this book.
Oh, I thought it was very clever.
Very clever?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To leave one book, you leave Sam and Frodo, then the next book you get in, and where'd they go? You know, I mean,
so suspenseful.
Clever. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Mm.
There's a lot of suspense in it. a lot of changes that went on. Yeah.
You know what change I really like?
What?
You talking to me instead of Richard.
Oh, good, yeah.
We could keep getting rid of Richard, and I think we're going to have a successful podcast because this is more fun for me. Do you want to leave the audience with any last thought of Lord of the Rings, anything at all, and what can they expect next from you?
I'm not sure. I may read short fantasy books like the one you showed me. Mm-hmm. I may reread someday Lord of the Rings again.
It deserves it.
Because it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. To go through that trip again would be amazing. And it certainly was. It was an amazing book. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you introduced me to it.
I'm glad that you read it.
And got me hooked on it.
Yeah. Well, this is some of the greatest, and I'm so glad you liked it. And thank you for coming on the podcast, Grandma.
You bet. I loved it.
Yeah, I love this book. Love you, Grandma. And then we'll see everybody. Maybe Grandma will come back on a future episode.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, this has been Tudor Ramble. We'll see you all with Richard next time, unfortunately. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, I am just throwing in this last clip into the podcast because I just finished editing the episode you watched with my grandma and I, and as you can see, I am surrounded by Lord of the Rings stuff. I have Gandalf of the Balrog here. I have Lord of the Rings books there and my favorite quote in literature by Tolkien, which just says, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. I tried to go Ian McKellen there. I failed, but you get the point. He says it a lot better in the film. But I'm just trying to express here that I'm butchering my words here. I'm just going to go with it. But my grandma spent a year reading these books and coming on the podcast talking about something I am passionate about. I just want to express how meaningful this whole episode is to me, that she came on to talk about a story that is the most meaningful story in my entire life. And my grandmother, who I love deeply, came on and the whole quote by Tolkien I just did of always decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. I kind of just was reflecting here going, I am so fortunate and unbelievably lucky and privileged to have all four of my grandparents still alive. I'm 26 years old and all four of my grandparents are alive. And just wanted to reflect on this episode and anybody who's watching, if you got some sort of joy or if you had a smile on your face at some point, to anybody that's older in your life, to just remember, whether it's your parents, grandparents, older uncles, aunts, to spend time with them. And I'm going to be able to look back at this forever. And I'm incredibly thankful and love my grandma and just hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, because to me, this was everything to me. And I just had a great time. And thank you, everybody, for watching our stuff on this ridiculous podcast where we just ramble away. As I ramble away on this thing that I hope I didn't ramble too much at the end here, I just wanted to express thanks and express how much I love, I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but how much I love my grandma.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.